Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
844-322-2742 is the number to call right now. If you'd like to be a part of today's broadcast, we would love to hear from you. If you have a question or a problem situation that you would like some biblical help with, certainly now is the time to call, 844-322-2742. Yesterday, Richard, we had a wonderful call at the end of the broadcast.
Yes.
From a gentleman named Paul, lives right here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Uh-huh.
He called, and we picked up his phone call near the end of the broadcast, so we didn't get to finish it on the air, but it's a marvelous story. It really is a marvelous story. He had moved to Dallas recently. He is a resident at one of the local hospitals. He grew up in a church, had heard about the gospel message, but had never really combined what he had heard with faith, had
yeah.
never come to a real saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Met a girl here in the Dallas area. She is a very strong believer. So her faith was a catalyst for him to start asking some questions. Yesterday, he woke up and he said to the Lord, he said, "I'm new to prayer." it's not something
the best
that,
kind.
That I've done on a regular basis. But he said, I prayed, and I said, "Lord, somehow let the Holy Spirit open my eyes to see Jesus." And he's going yesterday afternoon to his gym to work out. He's riding along in his car. He flips on his radio, scans the dial, and comes across the word right here in Dallas, 100.7, just at the time that we're on the broadcast, that Basic Gospel
yeah.
is on the air. And you and I were talking about what the gospel is, the fact that Jesus died to take away our sins, was raised so that we could have life everlasting. And we gave the phone number, and he picked up the phone and called and said, I had to ask this question. And so as we went off the air, I asked Paul to hold. And after the program was over, I picked up, and we had about a 15-20-minute phone conversation. And at the end of it, he asked to receive Christ into his life. It was just one of those great moments, wonderful moment, and I was certainly privileged to be a part of it. And I know so many of our listeners were kind of on the edge of their seat wondering what was going to happen, and that's exactly what happened. And from Paul's standpoint, his heart had been moved by the gospel message. He believed, he confessed with his mouth that Jesus was Lord, and believed in his heart that God had raised him from the dead. And so the Bible says he's saved.
Yeah.
Now, from God's vantage point, what happens to a person at that moment? And that's the passage that we want to look at today. We're actually going to look at several passages. But in John 5:24, Jesus says this, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." So what happens to someone who believes the gospel, who responds to the grace of God through faith, just as Paul did yesterday? Well, the first thing that happens is they cross over from death to life.
Yes.
Paul put it this way in Ephesians 2:4-5, that God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love for us, made us alive together with Christ. It is by grace that we have been saved. So we cross over from death to life. We're made fully alive in Jesus. We see in Acts 10:43, where Peter is saying to the Gentiles that he is preaching to at that particular time, he says, "Anyone who believes and receives Jesus Christ receives forgiveness of sins." So what else happens at the moment that we believe? We receive forgiveness of sins. And not just forgiveness for the sins we've committed in the past, but once and for all forgiveness.
Yes.
It's forgiveness for every sin, past, present, and future. So we stand before God as forgiven people. Then there's a declaration. There's a declaration that God has made that we are now justified by faith in Jesus Christ. The last verse of Romans chapter 4 really spells that out for us nicely. So we're declared righteous, and that really is proof that eternal life is ours and forgiveness of sin is ours.
Yes.
The fact that we are in right standing now with God, that we're no longer enemies, but we are friends, we are at peace one with another. And it's not that God was at odds with us, it's we were at odds with God.
Uh-huh.
We were enemies and alienated in our minds. God always loved us, and he demonstrated that love for us in Christ. And so when we come to faith in this gospel message, when we truly believe that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and was raised back to life, that's when we get on the same page with God. That's when our hearts and minds are aligned with him. That's when we are in right standing with him. So we cross over from death to life. We're made fully alive in Jesus. We receive forgiveness of sins. We're declared righteous. We are given a new identity. We're called children of God. John 1:12, for all who received him, he gave the right to be called children of God. So at that very moment yesterday, Paul became a child of God. He was born into the family of God. And then the fifth thing that we're going to talk about today is the fact that Christ came to live inside of Paul. So that's what makes him a new creation, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ, the God of this universe, the God who spoke and things became, is now living inside of Paul. That is such amazing work, an amazing gospel message, how it benefits us. Crossover from death to life, we receive forgiveness of sins, we're declared righteous in right standing with God, we're now children of God, we've been born again into the family, and God himself and the person of the Holy Spirit has come to live inside of us. Paul put it this way, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yeah.
We're in Christ, Christ is in us. It doesn't get any better than that.
No, it doesn't.
That's what happened yesterday, the moment Paul believed. And we had the opportunity to sit on the sideline and watch God do his work in Paul's life. It was quite the story, and so glad that we were there at Paul's point of need. He was asking questions. He was looking for answers. He wanted to know about faith. And he scanned across the radio dial, and there was Basic Gospel.
He happened to find
the program, and he heard the message about Jesus. Yeah. He heard about his death, burial, and resurrection, prompted him to pick up the phone and call, and God did all of that work in his life.
Yeah.
A wonderful story. So I say thank you to all of our listeners, all of our supporters that make stories like this happen. There's a great passage in the book of Hebrews. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. And Basic Gospel Nation, through the ministry that it provides through this outreach, and I'm talking about listeners who pray for Basic Gospel. I'm talking about people who give financially. I'm talking about people who serve on this team. I'm talking about all of those folks that God has raised up to be a part of this ministry, to play their roles in what's happening here and now. What you're doing is taking an ordinary day and turning it into a two-day when you hear his voice.
Uh-huh.
That's what happened yesterday. So thank you for being a part of it. We certainly are so excited to share these stories with you and to rejoice together at what God does in a life like Paul's. And we sent him some resources. We're going to follow up and watch him really get rooted in Christ and then grow and mature in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
So thank you. Thank you so much. We need your support to continue reaching out as we do. If you've been a part of Basic Gospel in the past and have yet to renew your support in 2017, would you do so now? Would you let us know that you're going to be with us this year as well? And you can just go to basicgospel.net, click the donate button, and follow all the instructions there. And just put a note with it saying, hey, this is just to let you know we're renewing our support for Basic Gospel. We want to continue to stand in partnership in this good news of Jesus Christ. So we'll be with you. That would be a great encouragement to us. If you're new and would like to join the Basic Gospel team, go to the website as well, basicgospel.net, click the donate button and say, hey, I want to be a part of what God is doing through Basic Gospel. It's a wonderful place to invest your money, to roll up your sleeves and be involved with on a day-to-day, month-to-month, year-to-year basis. God does some amazing things in people's lives, and it's just fun for all of us to be a part of that together.
Sure is.
And we have a special gift to say thank you this month. It's my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. It's a very clear, simple presentation of the good news of Jesus Christ, all that has happened to us because of that faith in Christ and what that means to us going forward. So be sure and request your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, when you make your gift to Basic Gospel this month. Well, let's go to our phone lines. Number 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Let's start in Calgary, Alberta today and talk with our friend Miles. Hi, Miles.
Hi, guys. Good afternoon and Happy New Year.
Well, thank you. And the same to you, my friend.
Thank you. One thing I would like to share with listeners in Canada is that you can do an e-transfer, electronic bank transfer to Rod out there at Nanoose Bay.
That's right.
I use that, so it's quite a convenient way for me. My question is it possible that Jesus could have visited other people and places after the Bible?
Well, it says he ascended and that he took up his rightful place at the right hand of God, the Father, that he's seated in the heavenlies and that we're seated with him. You know, if you're asking, is it possible that Jesus could have appeared to other people after he ascended? The answer is, well, sure, it's possible.
Yeah.
There's no written record. I mean, it's not something that's been revealed in such a way that it has authority that we can look at something and say, hey, in fact, he did appear to this group or that group. It talks about the fact that he appeared to Paul and taught Paul personally what this gospel message was. But other than that, we don't know. We just don't know.
Now,
I have read a couple of accounts, and they're documented, that when missionaries have gone into various parts of the world for the first time, that there were people there waiting for them. Somehow they had gotten some message through their history, through their own mythologies, that they were searching for something that was true. And they knew whatever they were worshiping was at best temporary, and many times they didn't know, they knew it wasn't true at all. It was just, we're waiting for something. And as soon as somebody showed up and presented Jesus, these people would go, well, yeah, that makes perfect sense. So, I mean, you have to know the Holy Spirit is active around the world preparing people's hearts for this truth. How he does that, when he does it, if he does it visibly or invisibly, he just hasn't revealed to us, and that's perfectly okay.
Yeah. And I think that's the key, Miles, is that the Holy Spirit is on the loose, isn't he?
Yeah.
He is bringing this gospel message as John wrote in his gospel, Jesus saying to the disciples, you know, when I leave, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to convict the world wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment. And in convicting the world wrong about those three things, he's going to point them to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Because sin is unbelief in Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is going to be doing his job to take the things of the Lord Jesus and make that truth known to people the world over. And I think he's doing a pretty good job of that, don't you?
Yes, I do. And I recall not too long ago you teaching about Romans 10:5, where the line is that by faith we have righteousness in faith, and it says, do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven. So the reason I bring this up is because I've been listening to someone who's known as a faith keeper named Oren Lyons of the Haudenosaunee First Nations, or the Iroquois Confederacy of New York. And he talks of this great peacemaker that came, they believe, about 1,000 years ago and had them bury their weapons and live in peace. And it's just like, oh my goodness, there seems to be such a parallel message or elements to the character of Jesus.
Yeah.
So I was just thinking, well, if there's nothing that precludes Jesus from revisiting, it is possible such
yeah.
that these indigenous groups may actually still have their experience and still be able to embrace the Bible.
Well, Miles, as far as God is concerned, you know, there's nothing impossible to him, and there's nothing that, you know, that would surprise me as far as that is concerned. I do and will say this, that, you know, any group, you know, that is saying something that, you know, somebody came to them, if that was really of God, somebody sent by God, then that group would be lifting up the name of Jesus.
Okay.
Because the Holy Spirit is going to take the things of the Lord Jesus, and he is going to make those things about the Lord Jesus known to man. So anyone that has had a visitation from God is going to be speaking about Jesus. I think that is very clear. The Bible, from beginning to end, is God's testimony concerning his Son, and that testimony is continuing today through the church, through the people of God. We lift up the name of Jesus. If the Holy Spirit is ministering to people outside of the body of Christ, so to speak, he is going to be ministering the person and work of Jesus. So anyone that says they've been visited, I think we'll know by the way they discuss, have they come to grips with this person of Jesus Christ, with his work through his death, burial, yeah. and resurrection.
And if Jesus is the singularity of truth, and although in their tongue there may be a different name that we don't understand, it still could be Jesus.
Well, like I said, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So God is certainly capable of getting the message concerning Jesus to anyone, anywhere.
Great.
So it doesn't have to be a mystery thing. God is capable.
Yeah.
And he wants people to come to repentance and to know Jesus. He wants people to have life in Jesus' name. So if he's going to deliver truth to people, it's going to be the truth about Jesus. We can just count on that.
Excellent.
Okay.
Okay, guys, thanks very much.
Hey, thanks, Miles. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Yeah, we've got a somewhat related question here from Samuel, who listens to us in New Britain, Connecticut. When I first heard Bob Christopher, he shared with me what God did to him. God saved him. In his story alone, I was able to follow Christ in all simplicity by grace through faith, just as Bob had been. I think that's what makes the ministry so effective in delivering the gospel. It is doing exactly what Christ wanted it to do, be his witness. In other words, I've seen Christ. Our own story of salvation by Christ, by grace through faith, is the best tool of discipleship. My question is simply, does that make sense to you, brothers at Basic Gospel? Is our story the best tool for discipleship discipleship and evangelism?
Well, the story of Christ,
yes.
You know, what Christ does in people's lives through this gospel message is the story.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's that story that captures our heart initially, and brings us to that point where we believe, we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, and that brings salvation to us. And it's that story that continues to compel us and to propel us forward as believers. It's that story that builds us up, that grows us, that matures us in Christ. We don't have to go outside of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. There's enough there to impact and transform every single area of our lives. If we're going to have healthy marriages, they need to be rooted and grounded in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And when they are, we see marriages that really live out the design God intended from the very beginning. When we see people growing in grace and growing in their knowledge of Christ Jesus, we see human beings flourishing, becoming what God designed from the very beginning. We become those image bearers. We reflect the glory of God out in this world of darkness. So it's the gospel that not only saves, it's the gospel that sustains, but it's also the gospel that disciples and builds us and grows us. And we just need to have some courage to stick with the gospel message. I mean, that's what our culture needs, is leaders, statesmen within the church that will not vary, will not waver from the good news of Jesus. If we want to impact the culture, if we want to engage the culture in a winsome way, stand on the gospel.
Yeah,
that's what people need. And as we live that out in our daily lives, we are witnesses. It's not like we have to go out witnessing, but the fact that we've been saved, the fact that we're growing in Christ, is a witness to the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It's what informs the world at large that we truly are disciples of Christ Jesus.
Yeah. This kind of situation is not abstract in the sense that, you know, if you're studying mathematics, you learn all of these laws and rules, and you really can't see it, visualize it. You just have to trust your teacher, and it works out with the homework assignment. No, when Jesus gets a hold of you, it's so intensely personal that the gospel takes root, and the gospel is what you are witnessing about because you are a witness to the gospel, and that's what makes it easier to talk to people. If you just come to them with a series of statements, they can accept or reject those statements. But if you come to them with, this is what Jesus did for me, and this is why it's so meaningful, they have to give that consideration, because it may not be their story, but they can tell it's your story. You're not lying about it. This is the power of the gospel. This is why we're part of the body of Christ. It takes each of us doing our little things to share the gospel across the world.
So that's a great point. Christianity isn't a series of propositions that we embrace. It really is life.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ came that we might have life and have it abundantly. That is the whole story of the gospel. Why did we need life? Because we were dead spiritually. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We had been separated because of the fall of Adam and Eve. And what did God do? He sent Jesus to inhabit a body, to take away the sins of the world, to be buried, and then to be raised back to life so that we could experience new life in him and could take up our vocation as image bearers, to really reflect the life, the glory, the love, the light of God through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what basic gospel is all about. That is the basic gospel, the story of Jesus. And that story can be lived out in you by grace through faith in him. Well, thank you for being a part of today's edition. We do have a wonderful resource that we would like to share with you. It's my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. It's yours for a donation this month, The Basic Gospel. All the information on how to contribute is on our website at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Just click the donate button. Come be a part of Basic Gospel Nation. We'll send you this book as our way of saying thank you. We'll be back tomorrow, same time. We'll see you then.